church say amen again tonight? We are so delighted to be in the house of God once again. All of us are delighted, right, to be in the house of the Lord. If you're excited and just happy to be in the house of the Lord, just say, I'm happy. Praise God. It's good that, again, God has allowed us to come out. To make it down the highways and the byways and the side streets and the through the hood. And we made it to the house of the Lord safely. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, I'm sure tonight we are all happy and thankful to be here because we realize that we are living in a troubled time.
Yeah.
Trouble is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Times are much worse than most of us can ever remember.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of us is from the roaring 20s when you had Al Capone and Frank Nitti and all them boys. They were tough. But that, Brother Lincoln said, he was born during that time. Amen. So, but we know that we are living in a gangster society now. And these gangsters are taking our minds, as I told you last night. Our mind should be on the other side of the cross. As Christ's mind was on the other side of the cross, the joy that was set before him. And so that he didn't see the pain of the cross. He didn't see the shame of the cross. What Christ seen was you and me. What Christ seen was salvation. He knew that I, Brother Prewitt, would be born. And he knew that I would need a Savior. And so he never looked at the cross. He never looked at that pain. What the Bible says that he was filled with the Spirit. In Luke 4, he says that the Spirit was upon him and he had been anointed to come and to set the captives free. He had been anointed, church. And so tonight, I realize that he did it all for me. And he did it all for you. So I realize tonight that the reason that he could look beyond the cross was because he was filled with the Spirit. And if we are going to look beyond what our eyes can see, if we're going to look beyond the pain and the suffering and all of the discomforts of this old wicked world, amen, we're going to have to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Because joy is a product of the Holy Spirit. Joy don't come because you are happy. Joy, it comes because the Spirit of God is living in you. Weeping may endure for a night, but I'm here tonight to tell you, no matter how long your night might be, that joy comes in the morning. Joy is coming, but you must be filled with that Spirit of God. Because if the Spirit of God is not in me, then I don't belong to Him. If the Spirit of God is not in me, all I can do is just focus in on the suffering and the pain in this old wicked world. That's why sometimes I find myself so, sad. Because sometimes, you know, it's like all I can do is focus in on what's going on around me.
Yeah.
When that happens, I realize that I'm not connected like I ought to be with the Lord God Almighty. Sometimes I might be doing something to grieve the Holy Spirit. I might be doing something to quench the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes when I miss my joy, when I don't find my joy, it's because I'm not allowing the Spirit to work in me and through me like He ought to work in me and through me. Is that all right? Y'all with me tonight, right? Amen. So I just want us to remember that as children of God, We must allow His Spirit to work in us. Let me tell you something. We cannot do this without the Spirit. We cannot carry out this divine purpose of mission that God has commanded us to do without His Spirit. We can't go throughout the world and baptize all nations without His divine Spirit. We have to be empowered by the Spirit.
Amen.
Church, we can't forget that. So we have to understand that we have to look at ourselves each day and take inventory to see if I'm in the Spirit. Because Satan is clever. That's why Paul says, are we ignorant of his divine? Well, is it ignorant without the ignorant of his divine? Satan, boy, he's clever. He'll make people think that they're doing what's right, and but in fact they're doing the opposite of God's will. Church, we have a huge responsibility. COC, we have a huge responsibility. Churches of Christ, we have a huge responsibility. We got a nation in trouble. And if we are the church, we are the ones that they need our prayer. But we got to be right with God. Church, we have a huge responsibility tonight. We cannot do this separate and apart from the Spirit. I told you on Sunday to watch the gift. This revival is centered off of John 4. When Jesus talks to this woman at the well there, Jacob's well, Jesus tells that woman in John 4:10, woman, if you only knew, if you only knew the gift that God has for you. Says, woman, you know, if you only knew that gift, guess what? And you only knew who was talking to you. So, church, if we only understand that gift. Now, first of all, the Holy Spirit is that gift.
Amen.
And then Jesus tells that woman, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
Spirit, I showed you throughout the week. Spirit plus truth equals worship. Spirit plus truth equals worship. Jesus tells that woman, the time is coming. He said, God is seeking true worshipers.
Yes.
Those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
He says, and that time is right now. And He says, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must. Meaning that it's imperative. You don't have no other way to worship God. Nothing else will do. So you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So we have no other way. So we can't worship God just in truth. And I believe the Christian is so weak today. The believer is so weak because he tries to worship God in truth and not in spirit. We have tried, I have tried to worship God separate and apart from love. There's no way I can do it. Because love is the Spirit, because God is love. The Holy Spirit is God. And I must have God in me in order to love as God loves. We're going to get there in a minute. So I've tried to worship God because I know every scripture in the Bible. Because I can devote you and win the debate based on what I know. But the Spirit is not guiding me into that truth. Jesus says that the Spirit It's what God demanded to all truth.
Amen.
So even though I know the Bible, I know the truth, I have the truth, then it doesn't do me much good.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have the Spirit of God in me. Now, because I'm in the church, don't mean, and I've been baptized for the remission of my sins, Acts 2:38, and I've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean because I've been in the church 40 years that I really got the Spirit. Because Paul said, be careful and don't quench the Spirit.
That's
Thessalonians 5:19, I believe it is. So we can put the Spirit out of our lives. And we can continue to try and worship Him in truth and truth only. Well, y'all looking at me awful funny. Have you ever noticed that? And I know that don't happen in here. I know it don't happen down here in San Diego. But I'm just telling myself some of the places that I've been. Have you ever noticed this? That some folks don't love nobody. And they ain't ever worship church. They ain't ever prayer meeting. You ever notice some folks just ain't got no peace in their life whatsoever? But they're on their way to heaven. See, these are the products of the Holy Spirit. This is how I identify if I'm living and walking in the Spirit. If I don't love nobody, if I'm a hell raiser, if I'm tearing up everything in the church, I might have to question whether I'm in the Spirit or not, right? If ain't no peace in my life in the church, ain't no peace in my life at home, my house tore up. I sit out in the garage or I sit in the driveway because I don't want to go in. That might be a real good indication that hey, that you're missing some stuff in your life. Amen. So I might try and worship God. He said, you got to worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
So you ever notice some folk in the church? They just cannot be kind to one another. I've got brothers that hate me, and I just don't know why. Honest to God, I ain't done nothing to nobody. Maybe I talk a little bit too much and talk too long sometimes, but don't hate me for that. Amen. I mean, some folks, and you know folks try and worship God. Watch this here. With no, and they unfaithful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They unfaithful. They're not dependable. Do y'all know anybody like that?
I know
folks like that. I tell you, I know that. I asked the brother one time. I said, brother, I want you to be head of the evangelism program.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to be the head hunter. I want you to be the big chief, head of the evangelism ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that brother told me?
Mm-hmm.
I got to pray on. Now, how in the world am I going to depend on Him? God certainly can't depend on Him. But yet, still, you say, I have the truth, and I'm worshiping God. No. We have to understand that God said we must worship in spirit and in truth. Turn your Bibles tonight to Romans 8.
All right.
We'll get back there in a minute. Romans 8. And tonight we're going to title this lesson, Choose Tonight. Choose tonight. Life or death. You're going to make a choice tonight. Life or death. Choose tonight. Life or death. I've been reading from the New Living Translation. It might be a little bit different than yours, but I guarantee you we're going to come to the same conclusion tonight.
All right.
Romans 8, beginning in verse number 1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Paul says, now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul says, not guilty. Not guilty.
Right.
Let him go free. Let him go free. What would those words mean to you tonight if you were sitting on death row? What would it mean to you tonight if you were sitting on death row? Amen. The fact tonight is this, that the whole human race is sitting on death row.
Yes, we are.
We have all, every one of us, have been justly condemned for repeatedly breaking God's holy law. Without Jesus, we would have no hope at all. But thanks be to God tonight. He has declared us not guilty.
Amen.
And has offered us freedom from the sin and power so that we can do His will. So that we can do His will. Now look what Paul says. And because you belong to Him. You see, I belong to Him. Why? Because I am a child of God. He says, and because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. You must make a choice tonight whether you want to live or whether you want to die. You must make a choice tonight. If I continue to live in the flesh, apparently I want to die. Amen. Now watch this. Look what Paul says. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Now Paul says, look, God sent His only Son to give Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. What the law could not do in the Old Testament, the shedding of blood, watch this, showed the Israelites how serious sin was. Something had to die that we might live. Animals couldn't set me free, but Jesus could. In Hebrews 10, 4 and 5, the Bible says that it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. That is why when Christ came into the world, He said to God, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offering, but you have given me a body to be offered. Amen. So Paul says, look, what the law could not do, what the law could not do, that it was weak. It was weak in our sinful nature. He sent His only Son to die, to be a sacrifice for us. Amen. Now watch this here. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the gift, the Spirit. We no longer follow our sinful nature, church. We ought not to follow our sinful nature. Why? Because we have been given the life-giving Spirit of God. And the Spirit has set us free. And that's what Jesus came to do, to set the captive free. And we have been set free by His Spirit, church. And so we no longer are, or should no longer be controlled by sin. Sin should have no power over the Christian. Sin should have no power over me. Fornication should have no power. Amen. Amen, church. Y'all ought to stay with this now. It should not have power over me. Amen. But have you ever noticed? Have you ever noticed? In the church. In the church. We got a lot of sin in the church. We got a lot of stuff going on in the church that ought not to be going on in the church. And sin has power over a lot of us in the church. And the problem with that is that we're not talking about it. We're not telling folks that they are sinning against God. We're not letting folks know that they have a choice to live or to die. Sin separates me from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. It separates me from God. So I make a choice tonight to live or die. I make that choice. God has done his part at cruel Calvary's cross. I make the choice tonight. If I live or if I die. And if I die in this, I can go where he is. Jesus said, if you die in your sin, where I am, you can't go. It's too much sin in the church. Sin, for some reason, Satan has power over a lot of our people in the church. We know. That's why we're quiet right now. That's why we're quiet. See, I know when I done hit on something. Everybody get quiet. I do the same thing, isn't it? Well, you hit, you come down my street, boy, I get the curtain shutter, I get the locking doors and everything else. I close the garage and everything else. I put a fulfill sign out in the yard, amen. Don't come down my street, amen. I'm trying to tell you something now. Watch what Paul said. Now watch what Paul said. In verse number 5, he says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature. Think about sinful things. Mm-hmm. Think about sinful things. Whoa. Now what that mean? Paul divides people into, now go watch this. Let me read this. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature, think about sinful things.
Yeah.
Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, think about things that please the Spirit. Now, what's on your mind? What's on your mind? What's on your mind? What's on my mind? What am I thinking about? Is my mind... Don't y'all be sizing me up now. What's on your mind? Paul says those that is dominated by the flesh or by that sinful nature. Paul says, you know what? They think about sinful things.
Yeah.
They think about sinful things. So now watch this here. Paul divides people into two categories. Those are dominated by their sinful nature. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
All of us would be in the first category. Mm. If Jesus had not been filled with the Spirit and he looked at the joy that was set before him. He looked at my salvation. If he had not gone to the cross and died and rose again. If we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, we do things that please the Spirit. We are if we are dominated by the sinful nature, we do things that please the flesh.
Yeah.
I have to ask myself the question every day, well, what am I thinking about? What controls me? What dominates my mind? Am I sitting up watching this porn on TV? Am I watching them funny movies? Or am I head on the internet? What controls my mind? And let me tell you something. I'm a numbers man. Don't y'all ever be fooled. Don't you know that let me tell you something. Right now, yeah, they get something like 300 million hits a day on porn. And don't you know, out of them 300 million hits, over 50 to 60% of it is quote unquote religious folks. Christians. Preachers. And not only that, where's your mind? What is dominating your mind?
That's a good question.
The jailhouses is full of child molesters. And they are coming out of the religious world. Where is the mind? What's dominating my mind? Do I have any self-control? See, if the Spirit is controlling my mind, then I have self-control. I can control myself.
Amen.
Paul said, make a choice. You make a choice tonight, whether you live or whether you die. Who you gonna follow tonight? I told you Monday night, who is your daddy? Who is your daddy? If the spirit be your daddy, and then you're going to, your character is going to be consistent with your daddy. And if Satan be your daddy, then your character will be consistent with your daddy, Satan. He was a liar from the beginning. John 8:44.
Right.
John 10:10, he's a thief.
Yeah.
He comes not to do nothing but steal, kill, and destroy. You know something? Let me put this up here. He spoke. That's a good character. Okay? A liar. And we got too many of them in the church. Y'all know I tell you don't lie. I told y'all boy won't bring me back, but that's all right. I'm a show preacher here about this here in Knoxville. We got a lot of folk that just consciously set out to destroy these congregations. That's consistent with Satan. They'll split a congregation here, there, and a little bit of everywhere. Go through a city, boy, and when that city look up, the city's all jacked up. So who's dominating their mind? And you know what? Those of us that follow them, folks, you know what? We are partakers of that evil thing. Those of us that support this stuff, folks that destroying the church. Everywhere you go, you got a split here and a split there. You know that ain't right. You can't find me one script in the Bible to justify a split. Not one. You cannot find me one scripture in the Bible. But you know what? Let me show you something. We're fellowship them guys, man. Look what Paul said. Have you ever worried about whether or not you really are a Christian? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about whether or not Lord, am I a Christian? Do I have the Spirit of God living in me? God, do I have that? With these eyes closed, with Father, will I have done all that you have asked me to do? When it's all over with, will I have love as you told me to love? And you know why I keep staying with love? Because if you don't get past this, none of that must erase that. When you look at Galatians 5:22-23, you look at that chronological order. You can follow it. How in the world are you going to have joy in your life and you ain't got no peace? I showed you what joy was last night, didn't I? How are you going to have joy and you don't have no love, brother? Joy is Jesus. Others. And yourself. How many of us look at Jesus first and then look at other folks? And then look at ourselves. See, joy and gladness is not based on circumstances. Only time you find folks just skipping and hopping and talking about they full of joy is when they got a pocket full of money. That's happy. That's happy. I get so happy. I get happy when I got money. Money will make you skip. It'll make you poke yourself out. And it will deflate you too when you roll. But joy is dependent on God. It's not based on your circumstances. That's why Peter said in the midst of all of your suffering in 1 Peter 1:8, he says you gotta find joy that's unspeakable. For real joy will make you tired. Folks be talking to you and you'll be you don't know what thing it is. Now that's just my that's the Bible don't say that. That's just Brother Freewill. Oh hell! all around you be breaking loose. Man, you be just a skipping and going on and so forth. What's wrong with it? That boy's full of God. I know a lot of folks, boy, you showing God. You show me skipping and just going on. I better skip because I'm broken, broken me. I'm so light on my hands. You know, big man. I ain't got that with any buttons. Get it! God's not based on my circumstances. I don't look at my circumstances. I look at Jesus. God! I know my night is long. But the psalmist says his joy is coming in the morning. That's all right. That's all right. I'm going to be all right. I just hope y'all going to be all right. I'm going to be all right. That's why I shout and scream so much. Amen. I'm all right. I don't need money to be happy. All right. I got an old African friend. He's happy. I need no money to be happy. I'm happy. I got joy. Why? Because, you know, I'm not worried about my circumstances, you know, because I know I ain't going to be around too long anyway. I want to make it in, boy. You know, I want to dance around that throne up there. Y'all don't like music and stuff, but boy, they're going to be doing some show enough singing up in here. And I'm going to be just as loud as everybody else. Amen. By that time, I have my voice back. Amen. Praise God. Now, watch what Paul says. I want us to look at this here. In verse number six. He says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind. Leads to death.
Yeah.
Keep sacking up. Keep sacking up. You're going to die. You already did. Keep sleeping with other folk wives and other folk husbands. You're going to already die. I know that ain't going on down here, but I just want to get on tape so they can put the tapes out where it's going on. I know it don't happen down here. We hold it, folks. We sanctify it, folks. But I'm telling you, look what Paul said. He said, if you, is that in your Bible? He said, so, now watch this here. He said, so letting your sinful nature control your mind. So that tells me that you have a choice in this matter, don't you? He said, so letting your sinful nature control your mind, it leads to what? To death. Spiritually dead.
Mm-hmm.
And we wonder why the church is so weak.
Yeah.
Wonder why the church is so weak. I told you Sunday, I showed you. They had the communion table right here. Paul says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many sleep. Why? Because them, you know, them fornicators, them liars, them adulterers, them sorcerers, and all, messing with witchcraft and all of those stuff. Around here, got some little beans and sticking it in folks and all of those stuff. Folks coming up in here, and guess what they do? They come up in here and they take the Lord's Supper year after year after year after year. Folks that's destroying and tearing down the church, they kill you for the communion. All they do is say, people, and what's happening here? They just constantly condemning
themselves.
That's why Paul said, examine yourself. Coming in here, taking it. And Paul said, that's why the church is weak. Can you imagine you condemning yourself at this level? Every Lord's day. Man, I tell you, when we saw that new time up there where I'm at, and what I do is I teach the second service. I just teach it relevant service, topics. And so the first one I taught, I'm teaching on the five items of worship that we live by in the churches of Christ.
Uh-huh.
And the first one that I taught was on communion.
Mm-hmm.
And when I, two weeks I taught on. Do you know when I finished, man, nobody felt they could take the communion. Well, what they told me was the condition of the church. They had been doing it, didn't know what they were doing. Phones just jumping off the roof. Nobody wants that to me. Well, I don't think I'm worthy. Lord, you need to get right. God can say, you've been doing it for so long, don't worry about that. Yesterday is gone. You get it right today and come on in here Sunday and take the communion. Get it right.
Right.
Repent. God is faithful and just to forgive you.
Get rid of it. But they love it so much, they don't want to get rid of it. They want to find another way around. They want to find another way. But you can't. You got to get up. And that's why the church is so weak. Now look at Paul. You know why? Look. Because he says, but. He says, watch this here. I want to go back up to verse number 6. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the spirit control your mind leads to what? You got to make a choice tonight. Everybody sitting in this room, you have to make a choice.
Right.
Do you want to live or do you want to die? That's the choice.
You're right.
Do you want to live or do you want to die?
Yeah.
We have to ask ourselves these tough questions. Amen. I know I ain't going to keep you there. I ain't going to keep you too late tonight. Boy, everybody was upset last night. I ain't going to keep you too late tonight. I keep you here about 11:50. About 11:58. Amen. We'll be out here in a minute. We'll be out here in a minute.
Well,
watch this. I want to see it. Look what the Bible says. In verse number 7.
Mm-hmm.
For the sinful nature.
Mm-hmm.
Is always hostile to God. But I just tell Luke, I fly. I don't hurt nobody. But Paul says the sinful nature is always hostile to God. John said in 1 John 5:5, he said, and who can win this battle against the world? But those who believe in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit has to be working in me. I have to be in the faith to win this battle.
Amen.
Because there's a war going on.
Amen.
There's a war going on inside of all of us right now. Now, you might think you're the Pope. You might think you're the holy ruler of the world. But there's a war going on inside. All of us are subject to this. And watch this here. Look what Paul says. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws. And it never will. The sinful nature will never obey God's laws. It never has. And we wonder why. You see, you ever notice, and you, Christianity is so weak now. Because Christians don't obey God's law. Because they have been drugged in. They have allowed themselves to get caught up in all of this mess.
Man.
I told you last night. If our mind is not focused on the other side of the cross,
mm-hmm.
our minds need to be focused in on glory.
Yeah.
Because if it's not focused in on glory, it's going to be focused in on Tupac Shakur. It's going to be focused in on who is the mother boy, Snoop Dogg, the dog, 50 Cent, and all of them other boys. On those folks. That's right. It'd be focused in on me and Mrs. Jones and all of that old stuff. If the mind is not focused in on heaven, if my mind stayed on heaven, I wouldn't have time to be focused in on all the other junk.
Right.
If I understood the picture of heaven, just how beautiful heaven must be. That it's going to take the Spirit to keep my mind up there. It's going to take the Spirit to keep my mind above all of this other stuff.
Amen.
So you have to understand the only way that we're going to be able to win this battle is that we're going to have to believe that this Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the empowerment or the power that I need.
Amen.
Because Satan ain't no joke. He's vigilant. I mean, he's on his job. He roams. He just roams about. He just roams. And I mean, he just sits next to you. He rubs your back, man. He everywhere you go, everywhere you turn. Because he wants your soul. And if we're not empowered by the Holy Spirit, he's going to get us.
Amen.
If he can go into a perfect environment as the Garden of Eden and get Adam and Eve, I know he can get me.
Oh, yeah.
He went in a perfect environment. And that boy got the line. And that's what he does to us. You ever notice just, and preachers, I know preachers, y'all understand this very well. You ever notice sometimes, man, you're doing the very best that you can possibly do, and then out of nowhere, man, folk just start attacking you?
Yeah. Lord have mercy.
You ain't done nothing. You don't have to do anything, but do God's will. You do God's will, folks is going to attack you because they're going to allow Satan to dominate. They're going to allow Satan to dominate their mind.
Oh, yeah.
We can't do this. We can't do that. Why are you trying to do that? Why are you spending that? Why this? And them always the one ain't giving but $1 anyway. Why did you? That cost too much. Well, we should have got 5 different bids. We should have did this. We should have did that. Well, man, the whole ceiling had fell out. Well, we still should have just put some plastic up there until we got another bid. Do everything to stop the work of the church. Everything to stop the work of the church. Why? Because Satan is controlling their mind. Romans 8, verse 26 and 27, and the Holy Spirit help us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants. We don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us.
Yes.
He prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all heart knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit leads or pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Man, I'm telling you, without the Spirit, we are just lost. He said, then the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. We don't know, but God knows. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. See, the Spirit, we must have the Spirit of God living in us. We need the Spirit to plead for us. When we are so weak, man, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say and how to say it. The Holy Spirit makes groaning for us. Words can't even express what it needs to be said. But God knows our heart, and God lines us up with His will through the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that we're going to be able to carry out God's divine will. Man, how in the world are we going to love folks that don't love us? How is we going to love folks that don't love us? Matter of fact, how in the world are we going to love folks that hate us? How can we do that without the Spirit of Christ living in us? But we are commanded to do just that. We got to love folks that don't love us. We got to love our enemies, Jesus said. We got to love our neighbors. How can I do that? And the brother that's sitting next to me hates me. And he done told me, he whispers in my ear, boy, I hate you. But I gotta love him anyway. I gotta whisper back at him, man, I love you. I'm hungry, but I hate you. I got to feed you. But I ain't got for $2 and I'm hungry. I gotta make a choice, though. But the Holy Spirit says, you come before me because I'm a servant.
See,
nature, the carnal mind says the first law of human nature is self-preservation. But that ain't what Jesus said.
No, God.
So you see, we have to understand something. We got to understand something here. If we're not empowered by the Holy Spirit, you know, every day that I get up, this is what I read: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Every day, Galatians 5:22. I have to model my life after that.
Amen.
I have to love when I don't want to love.
Amen.
I have to pray for the Spirit. Spirit, help me.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, guide me. Ain't that right?
Amen.
And let me tell you something about love real quick. Amen. You know why most of us, you know why a lot of people, I'm not going to say most of us because I don't know y'all that well, but I'm going to say,
why a lot of people don't love nobody else because they don't love God. Now, if a person don't love God, how in the world he gonna love me? And then not only that, they don't love themselves. How you gonna love your neighbor if you don't love yourself? How you gonna love your wife if you don't love yourself? How you gonna love your husband if you don't love yourself? Amen. See, and that's why, watch this here. A good way to know that the Spirit is in control, my old life is gone.
Yeah.
I now began to look like God.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to the book of Ephesians 4:22-23. Watch this here.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. When the Holy Spirit is working in me, I have the love of God in me.
Yeah.
I have the love of God in me. When the Holy Spirit is working in me. And see, just think about this, church. If the church has the love of God working in the church, in all of us, wouldn't the church be a beautiful place? We wouldn't be rushing to go home. We wouldn't be fighting with each other. You know why we're rushing? Because there's too much tension.
Oh, yeah.
Too much friction.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be a beautiful place. Now watch what Paul says in Ephesians 4:22-23.
Mm-hmm.
He says, throw off your old sinful nature
mm-hmm.
and your former way of life,
mm-hmm.
which is corrupted by lust and deception.
Yeah.
He says, instead, let the Spirit renew.
Yes, sir.
Let the Spirit, Paul says, renew your thoughts and your attitude. That's what it means to worship in spirit and in truth.
Right.
You got to have the attitude of God. Now watch what Paul said. He says, let it renew your let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitude. In verse number 24, he says, put on your new nature. Created to be like God. Created to be like God. So in other words, as a Christian, I got to put out the old man. And I got to start looking like God. I got to start looking like God. That's me, baby. That, we got to start looking like God. Say, he made us in his image. He said he made us in his image. And look, when the Spirit renew my mind,
yeah.
I got to think like God. God so loved the world. I got to think like God now. I got to empty myself. I got to pick up my cross daily and follow God. I got to bear my cross. I got to submit daily. I got to think like God. Righteous and holy. In other words, I got to be sanctified.
Right.
I can't think like I used to think.
Right.
I can't act like I used to act.
Right.
I got to get rid of that man. I got to think like God.
Yes, sir, man.
Now, boy, if the stakes ain't high now, they go, oh, Lord Jesus, what's wrong with y'all folks?
Yeah.
I got to act like God.
Amen.
Can't act like Brother Freeway no more. Y'all, I was an ugly fellow one time. Terrible. I can't do that no more.
Yeah.
I got to act just like God. And he shook it, shook y'all. Look at that. That's how he want me to act. Paul says, if I don't have love, Paul says, ain't nothing. Paul says, I'm nothing.
No.
I don't have love, so I can't have no trust. He says, I can't have none of that.
Man.
God is love. And now I've got to act just like God. So I got to be a loving fella. You know, I have to make ways out of no ways. You know why? Because I trust God. Every ministry in here, we should have ministries here, and a ministry there, and a ministry everywhere. That's what God did. And I'm going to show you tomorrow night. Tomorrow night is going to be the church. We don't talk about the church. The text is going to be Matthew 16 and verse number 18. The church of Christ. One that he purchased and he died for. And the church needs ministers in it. That's what the church has. That's what God's church has.
Amen.
met the needs of the people.
Mm-hmm.
See, if our attitudes, our minds, and our, all of that have changed, guess what will happen? We'll have ministry for folk.
Mm-hmm.
See, we wouldn't be trying to talk about I'm the only one got the truth. Well, you got the truth, but then if the spirit ain't moving you fast enough. Folk need. God see the need. God see the need and he laid his life down. Have you seen the need? Adam and Eve had messed it up. See, Adam can't share. He's seen a need. We got to think like God tonight.
Amen.
We got to think like God. See, is that in your Bible or am I just talking to myself?
All right.
Ain't that deep?
Oh.
Ain't that deep?
Oh.
So if you want to know what church is supposed to do, guess what? Just think, look at what God did. You know, the Bible says, I think it's in Matthew 9, about 35 from where. Now, y'all know the text. The Bible says that God looked out over all of the folk that were sick with all these diseases messed up. And the Bible says that God had compassion on them. Compassion. Man, the system that we know is literally gone. I guarantee you now, folk probably wouldn't raise their hand, but if I took a poll right now and asked everybody how many of us up in here is living on that last paycheck, probably a whole room, and probably a half of the room would go up. Some of y'all about rich, so I can't say that. Like Sister Charlie, you have a whole lot, all that money. But some of us rich. Hey, man, you see, yeah, see this high boy, he got all the money. But most of us, our hands probably would go up. There's a need in the church that we don't address. But I guarantee you, God addresses it. The Bible says, now Paul tell these Ephesians, you know, them old, and I'm going to talk about them tomorrow night over there in Revelation 2, and I'm going to tell you, we just like them old Ephesians. Why do you think God removed his candlestick? Or why he took his light up out of there? Why do you think God took his spirit out of the church at Ephesus? Because they had left their first love. And they was a debating church. That's all they did, debated everybody. Man, when you debate your spirit, your conscience becomes seared. And all you know how to do is fight. Harden. Can't see the suffering that is manifest. But that's all God ever sees. That's all God ever sees. And we got to think, act just like God.
All right.
That's deep. That's deep to me. That's deep to me. I don't take it lightly either. Because I know I ain't adding up. But I'm a show tell it. Because I ain't doing it don't mean. That don't mean I can't tell it. That don't mean I'm a hypocrite either. It just means I didn't know no better. But now that I know better, I do better. Y'all know better tonight. We got to think like God. Ain't that right, Brother Jerry? We got what the Bible said? We got to think like God. Attitude's got to change. How did Jesus handle situations? How did Jesus handle situations? We got to handle situations like Jesus handled situations.
Mm-hmm.
How did he handle that? You remember, you remember that Roman soldier? You still remember the one on the cross that pierced him in the side? How did Jesus handle that?
With love.
Come on with it now. With what?
With love.
With love.
Right.
So when somebody pierced you in your side, how do you handle that?
With love.
When Jesus was on that cross, and finally when his voice broke through the silence of darkness, Jesus says, Father, he said, Father, look, Jesus talking to his daddy now. He said, look, Father, forgive him. Everybody somebody that's been done something to you, you need to forgive them tonight. Set yourself free tonight. See, Jesus had them. See, Jesus had somewhere to go. So Jesus had to forgive them. See, Jesus came and he had a mission to carry out. See, we'll never carry that mission out as long as we got animosity and hatred against one another. As long as we got unforgiving spirit, we will never carry God's mission out. We spent 30 and 40 years of it trying to fix stuff that folks did 50 years ago. I don't care nothing about it. I forgive you. Because, see, I got to move on. I got something to do. You ain't doing nothing for me anyway. If I know I'm going to forgive you, let me get away from you real quick. I forgive you. So we got to have, look what Paul says. Paul says, look at here. He says, look, we have to have the minds that put on the new nature created to be like God. Truly righteous. In other words, don't get the word, you know, righteous, you know, I mean, we'll use that word and it sounds so big. All it simply means is right. Be right and holy. In other words, be right and set and be set apart from the world. We got to think like God. We got to think like God. Now, I want to show you something, then we're going to close. That's number one. That's the first we're going to close. So I ain't going to keep you here, honestly. I'll finish it up tomorrow. Look what he says. Look what he says. He says in verse number 9 of Romans 8. He says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him. I mean, watch it. Look at the text. He says, but you are controlled. Now, Paul's trying to help us out here. Look how Paul changed directions here. He's trying to help us out. He talks about this hostility against God. This sinful nature is always, sin has always been hostile against God. An enmity against God. But look what he says here. He says, he tried to help us out. So Paul, look what he does. He changed the direction. But he changes the direction. Look what he says. He says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. Paul says, look, you are not controlled by your sinful nature.
Right.
You have the Spirit of God living in you. So that tells me that some folks in the church don't have the Spirit of God living in them. And we can identify those folks real easy. Just follow the pattern here. If they out of control, we can start at the bottom. If they out of control, you better watch them. You ever heard folks in the church say, well, you know, I just got to speak my mind. And Lord, what comes next is just, it ain't got nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Out of control. Look what Paul says. Look what Paul says. He says, look here. He says that, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. Don't belong to Jesus. There are some folk in the church that just don't belong to Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
They don't have the Spirit in
them. My Lord.
And guess what we do? I'm guilty. Guess what we do? We put them on the table. Have them praying. Have them up lead your congregation in song. And they jacked up. They jacked up. They got the Spirit in them. And we just use them. And high in the world is a ungodly, unspiritual, no spiritual man going to lead God's people. He don't even care about God's people.
Good question.
It's in the Bible. And we can identify them folks. We can identify them right here. You're going to catch them. And you know, always the ones that ain't got no spirit of Christ in them, nowhere. Them are always the ones talking about love each other. Love. I'm serious. So church, look what Paul says. And then I'm going to tell you something. Now, how in the world are we going to love somebody if we don't have the Spirit of Christ in us? And then Paul says in the 10th verse, and Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life.
Yeah.
Choose tonight to live or to die. Wherever you might be tonight, you can repent. You can get rid of that all of that's in you. You can free yourself tonight. You can allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does best. And that is come in your life and guide you into all truth. Then this, it will start to make sense.
Amen.
But it will never make sense if the Spirit of God is not living in us. Because it's the Spirit that gives us life. That's why Jesus said, I think it's John 6:63. He says, the words that I speak, they are Spirit, and they give all they are life. Life. We'll never have that life until we have the Spirit living in us. The Spirit must live in us. Church, we can do this. But it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit. We can turn this city upside down. And you know something? All of these congregations in his city, that all of them can come together. Now, if it was me, if it was me, man, we don't have two congregations amongst the black churches. So how many we got now? 6, 7 or something like that? If it was me, I'd just liquidate all the resources and pull two churches together and find elders, deacons, and some preachers, and get some ministries going and turn this city upside down. But see, it's going to take the Spirit to unite us. Ephesians 4:1-5. It's going to take the Spirit to unite us. See, you know why we haven't done that in 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years? You know why we ain't done it? Because we have not been guided by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit makes sense. We don't make sense. We'll squander, throw money away just like it ain't nothing. We'll sit in these little bitty shacks and boy, I'm not calling this no shack or nothing, but I'm talking about out there where I'm at. We'll sit in these little bitty buildings and just die off. Congregation after congregation after congregation after congregation is dying. You gonna tell me that's the work of the Spirit? They died! Dying! We have to choose tonight whether to live or die. The Spirit gives life. The flesh gives death. That's why we're not united. That's why we're not working. That's why nothing is happening. Because the Spirit. See, we can't unite the flesh. The flesh is too corrupt. It's dirty, polluted, contaminated. But the flesh is pure. Clean. The Spirit does it. Clean. Good. And that's what the Spirit does to us. See, that's why we meet Him in that watery grave of baptism. We get clean. Spirit working in us now. See, the Spirit, we're being guided by the Spirit. We're being led into all truth. And you know what all truth says? That all truth says to make every effort to unite in the Spirit. Ephesians 4:1-6. Ephesians 4, one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope. You know what that means? One. One. We are to be one. You know what the Spirit says? The Spirit says that we are that there is to be no schism amongst us. See, the Spirit guides us to the truth. The truth says there is to be no division amongst us. There ain't no such thing as I'm over here, I'm over there, and I don't like over here, so I'm going to run over there and just pat that up, and I'm going to pat that up. No, that's not in the book. But the Spirit allows us to do that. Our flesh, rather, allows us to do that. The Spirit never allows us to do that. There's no way I can leave anywhere until I get it right. That's what the Spirit says. Ain't going nowhere until we get this right. No way. No way. But the Spirit, but when the Spirit, see, when you ain't got the Spirit working in you. And let me tell you something, we're going to close. Number two. We're going to close. Number two. We got to love like God. We got to be truly righteous and holy, church. We got to love. We got to first, to be like God, we got to love God. Just as Jesus did. Then we got to love ourselves. Just as Jesus did. And then number three is we got to love our neighbor. Just as Jesus did. And number four, we got to love our enemy. Just as Jesus did. We got to do that. See, when we began to think like God, then things will happen like God. God will start to bless the church when we began to live like God. When we get the attitude of gratitude. When we began to love like God, God will bless the church. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached one sermon filled with the Holy Spirit. Mouth just running, and 15 nations of Jews out there heard every word the man said. Filled with the Spirit. The Bible says that they baptized 3,000 souls. The Bible says that the Lord continued to add daily to the church such as should be saved. Why was he adding to the church? Because the church was filled with the Spirit. The church was God. By the Spirit. The church was sanctified and the church was holy, and God continued to add to the church daily. Then the Bible says they kept on baptizing 4,000 and 5,000 men. They didn't even count the wives. They were baptizing them so fast, and then they count, and then Luke stopped counting. Why? Because in the seal, your Spirit. God asked to the church. And that wasn't, you know, I heard brother talking about, oh, that was a worldwide church. That was church up in Jerusalem.
Yes, it was.
If our buildings wasn't closed every day, maybe he'd ask something else too. But the Bible says they came together every day. God can't ask for something. You locked it up. Open it up. That's what the Spirit says. Open it up. We got to start thinking like God. We got to stop running. And just running all the time. I'm so tired of it. Folks trying to tell me how long to preach and how long I'll preach all night. But I ain't going to do that tonight. I'm just messing with you. Church, I guess we got to think like God. Man's got to think like God. Well, folks, they're going to keep you bouncing up over, brother. Amen. I ain't going to keep you off now. We got to love like God, church. When we love like God, God will add to our numbers. God will bless us. We keep missing our blessings because we can't see our blessings because we're looking through our fleshly eyes. We're not looking through our spiritual eyes. We keep missing blessings. God is throwing blessings and blessings and blessings upon us. You remember back, go back about 10, 15 years ago, man, the church, everybody had a big, good job. God was just blessing us. And why is the church broke today? You see that? We miss our blessings. Because God says, what you sow, you reap. What you sow, you reap. And when we was making all that good money, we wasn't giving God any. Now everybody broke and the church ain't helping. The church ain't got nothing. You see that? We got to start thinking like God. We got to start thinking like God. We got to start trusting God. Do y'all trust God tonight? Do y'all trust God? Well, let us start thinking like God. Let us think bigger than what we see around here. Let us think big. You know, we serve a big God. We serve a God that spoke and the world came into existence, didn't it? Well, that's a big God. I mean, anytime God can lay a man down and just grab some dirt and make a whole man, boy, he made a complex man. And then when he wasn't finished that, he laid him down, put him to sleep, extracted a rib and made a woman. That man was dead asleep when he made that woman. That's what I tell these brothers. You better be careful what you say to these women. You don't know what God and that woman were talking about when you was laying up there sleeping. You don't know what he was talking about. So I don't remember what he was. Amen. I'm trying to tell you something now. We serve a big God. God parted the Red Sea. That is something. We serve a huge God. And we're selling for this mediocrity. I don't believe in it. We got to start thinking big like God. We got to start thinking big like God. We got to start claiming some stuff around here. We got to start naming and claiming. Amen. I know that sound like, I know that sound like what y'all call them, the Holy Rollers out there. But we need to start just claiming some stuff. We need all kinds of stuff. Hospitals, and we need programs, and we need all kinds of stuff. Our kids need all this, need that. And so anyway, I'm gonna close tonight. But if you're here tonight and you done strayed from the family of God, you can come back by repenting of your sin. We can go to the Heavenly Father on your behalf. And you know what God will do? God says, you know what? I'll forgive you no matter what you've done, except for blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Ain't nobody here done that. But I will forgive you for anything that you've done. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, please become a child of God. Become a child of God tonight. And get empowered tonight. Walk out of here on cloud nine. Walk out of here like a giant. Amen. You can come up out of that water and grave and be just like an Ethiopian eunuch. You can get the skipping up out of here. And I won't stop you from skipping. Matter of fact, I'll be skipping right along with you. I'm telling you the truth. We'll get out there in the parking lot. I know we can't do it up in the field when these brothers jump all over. But we'll have some praise dancing going on out there. Amen. We'll have some shyness and panic. Hallelujah is going on out there. If you get in that water tonight, let God cleanse you up. Let God wash you up. Let God put His Spirit in you. You can do that by believing the facts of the gospel. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Believing the facts of the gospel. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And then after that, one must repent. In other words, make a mental decision tonight. Say, I'm going to get out of this worldly system, and I'm coming in and getting tired. I can't move and slow like the turtle. I want to come in and get energized like the energy, that old bunny. I want to be just skipping around here rejoicing tonight. Amen. So just repent. Acts 17 and verse number 30. The Bible said at one time God winked at this ignorant, but in these days God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Luke 13 and verse number 8. Jesus said, I tell your neighbor, except you repent. In other words, except you turn from that world and turn to me, he says you shall die in your sins. Amen. And then after that, one must confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me, Jesus says, before me and him will I confess before my Father with the Lord. Whosoever therefore denies me before me and him will I deny before my Father with the Lord. You don't want Jesus to deny you. Jesus, you don't want him to stand. You don't want to stand up there and be shaking and baking down here. Stand up there before him and he says, depart from me. I never knew you. You're working up in me. Oh Lord, I was in the church. Christ, get away from me. Oh Lord, I gave. Get away from me. You don't want to hear. So here, and then after that, one must be baptized for the remission of his sin. Now, a lot of folks have a problem with baptism, but I just don't understand why. Because Jesus said, that's why I don't have a problem with it. Amen. I just don't have a problem with it because the Spirit tells me that that's the true thought. Amen. Mark 15:16, Jesus said that in all mouth. And you tell me, if the Spirit tells me I don't do it, what kind of sense is that? Mm-hmm. Jesus said, he that believe and eat baptized shall be saved. Now, how in the world you gonna deny that? Now, if you deny that, you done lost your mind. You need some more. You need an exorcist up in here. We'll call somebody up in here with a big old cross, and we don't do some stuff on you. That's much the sin of he that believe and is baptized shall be saved. Somebody in here tonight wants Jesus Christ. Somebody tonight wants the Holy Spirit in them and power them. Somebody in here tonight. Ain't gonna let you go until somebody come on. Somebody! Somebody.
Amen.
Somebody up in here have done things against one another. Mm-hmm. I know you have. Some folks in here, it's hurting me. You're just scared. But tonight is your night.
Amen.
You got to make a choice tonight.
Yes.
You got to make a choice to live or die.
Amen.
You don't want to die. You don't want to be separated from God. You want to make a choice tonight to live.
Yeah.
I want you to live tonight.
Yeah.
We serve a good God.
Yeah.
I know sometimes we don't act right. But God says, that's all right.
Tonight is your night. Tonight. Don't harm your heart. Get in your life. If you got something going on that's contrary to God, you got this identity. Just be real comfortable.
Yes.
We're going to stand. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. I just want to ask the brothers tonight that's praying the last prayer. Pray that God will remove any hostile spirits against the church. That God will remove this vision in this church. And that we can all come into the unity, into the harmony. That we can all just come together.
Yes.
Please pray for the church.
Yes.
And always pray for me, brother. Don't y'all, whoever praying, don't you forget me now.
Yes.
Pray for me. Yes. And pray for all of us that we can come together and be one.
Yes.
God bless you.